Pittsburgh Radio News.
We, the people, we're fighting back. The Phoenix has arisen. We're fighting back.
Homeowners are taking banks to the court. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for October 14th, 2010. I'm LaTanya Kirkland. Lately, there's been a push for fewer cars and more bikes in Los Angeles. Angelenos are starting to make the switch, but for some immigrant communities, bicycling is the only way to get around town. Stephanie Guzman visited a day laborer center near MacArthur Park that was getting some new bike racks.
New bike racks may not seem like the most exciting thing, but the workers at the Gunnison Day Labor Center look on with anticipation as a city worker hammers in the racks. Jeronimo Salguero helps out at the center. It's a simple, open structure in the Home Depot parking lot. He says he was a little underwhelmed by the installation.
We were laughing with some friends right there because we have been working for probably more than 1 year, and they did it like in 20 minutes.
That's right. It took more than a year for the city to install just 4 bike racks. I asked Councilmember Ed Reyes why it took so long. Here's his response.
No, it bothers me a lot. My understanding is that our department had the money since January in their defense of DOT. There's only 3 or 4 individuals in the city of almost 4 million dealing with bicycle issues.
And that's the problem. There's just not enough workers to approve all the racks this community needs. And this community needs them. Their bikes are constantly being stolen. And when they don't have a bike or the money for a bus fare, that means they don't go to work that day. The Los Angeles Bicycle Union headed this project. They just hope installing bike racks near the park won't take as long. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
The superintendent of Compton School District was fired today. The school board says Kay Burnside used district credit cards to buy $14,000 worth of personal purchases. They say she still owes thousands of dollars. She's been on leave since May. Burnside says she's thought she repaid everything and that she didn't know she couldn't use the cards to make personal purchases. She's threatening to sue. She's not the first one to run into problems with the Compton School District's credit cards. A former school board member was also forced to quit after using his card to pay for a party. Compton's former deputy superintendent, Karen Friesen, is acting as superintendent for now. The Los Angeles Museum of the Holocaust celebrated the opening of their new permanent home today. Caitlin Parker talked to some of the people who attended the opening.
The Los Angeles Holocaust Museum was founded by survivors in 1961. It is the nation's oldest Holocaust museum. For years, the collection was shuffled through different buildings. But today, survivors' personal artifacts will finally have a permanent home. Gabriela Karin is a Holocaust survivor from Bratislava, Slovakia. She believes it's important for people to have a physical, tangible space to learn about the Holocaust.
Well, I think people have to know what happened. And if they see something that is not just written in books, but you can look through it, see pictures, see art there, this is what's important.
Karine also works with the museum as a speaker and a tour guide. She especially likes working with children and telling them her survivor story. 40,000 students are expected to visit the museum each year. Caitlin Parker, Annenberg Radio News.
Students at a new nearby elementary school get to remember a hero of the Holocaust every day. Today, the LA School District hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new charter school, named after a Salvadorian with a unique history. Emily Frost has more on the emotional ceremony.
Cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno.
Jose Castellanos Elementary School opened its doors for the first time this August. Today, parents who are almost all Central American immigrants gathered to hear the unique story of the school's name. Castellanos, a Salvadorian diplomat, was stationed in Geneva during World War II. He saved over 40,000 Jews during the Holocaust by providing them with Salvadorian citizenship papers. Oscar Dominguez, a community leader, collected 300 signatures in support of the school's name. He says most people hadn't heard about Castellanos' heroism.
We saw the opportunity to create an icon within our corridor from El Salvador.
Harvey Shields' mother-in-law was saved by Castellanos.
Had it not been for the document that her family had affirming their Salvadoran citizenship, they would almost certainly have been sent straight away to the death camp at Auschwitz. Instead, they survived.
Community leaders say they hope Castellanos' heroism will inspire students. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
Democratic candidate for governor Jerry Brown was at a downtown elementary school today where he charged his rival with trying to protect the wealthy from paying higher taxes. Chris Foy has more.
Attorney General and Democratic contender for governor Jerry Brown spoke out against Republican opponent Meg Whitman today at the Doris Place Elementary School. President of the LA City Council and members of the school board stood behind Brown as he condemned Whitman's proposed elimination of the capital gains tax, a tax that only affects the wealthiest Californians.
This is really a serious difference that are worth thinking about. Now, we don't know exactly how much Meg Whitman will make if she succeeds and gets the capital gains tax eliminated. We have to hear from her, and that's why I'm asking Ms. Whitman now to clarify this, to tell us how much would she make this year or last year, whatever's an appropriate year for her, how much would she get by eliminating this tax?
Brown said that this year alone, the capital gains tax would bring in $5 billion to the state's general fund.
The whole premise, as she said in the debate, is that if you give very wealthy people this tax break, they'll invest it and create jobs. The problem with that is there's no requirement for that.
Whitman said during Wednesday's debate that her plan to cut out the capital gains tax would allow wealthy Californians to invest in the future. Her campaign website says that in addition to this, she plans on finding more money to invest in public education by cutting out bloated administration. Whitman plans on taking $1 billion from welfare and other programs she wants to reform, and she wants to inject that money into the public university system.
I'm not making any commitments until A, I'm elected, and B, I get those budget books open and start digging into them. We've got a big hole up there, and I want to be honest. And the honest statement is, we got to make tough decisions, we got to live within our means, and I'm going to do everything I can to get as much money for schools and for struggling people. I do feel that those at the very top have to tuck in their belts first. Sacrifice should start at the top.
Recent debates between the two have shown that both have different beliefs on how to repair the state, from education to the job market, but ultimately it's up to the voters to decide this November. Chris Foy, Annenberg.
Tonight it will cool down. It will be cloudy with a low of 66 degrees. Tomorrow will be cloudy, but the heat has not fizzled out yet. There will be a high of 83. This weekend should be pleasant with more clouds and highs in the low 80s and mid 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, could your jewelry be dangerous to your health? The number of homes underwater in California is rising, but as more banks acknowledge they might not have vigilantly followed foreclosure proceedings, some homeowners have decided they're not leaving quietly. Laurel Galanter has more.
About a dozen homeowners facing foreclosure protested today at the Los Angeles County Courthouse. The demonstration was organized by the Home Defenders League, which is calling for a moratorium on foreclosure across California. 23 states have already made this commitment. The movement has been fueled by homeowners angry at the banks for seizing homes. Across the country, millions of people have lost their homes. Peggy Mears is one of them.
These are the banks who are once again making a profit, and on whose back? We, the people. We're fighting back. The Phoenix has arisen. We're fighting back.
They are losing their homes for a lot of reasons. Some lost their jobs, had health problems, or couldn't handle escalating interest rates. Peggy Mears is angry because she thought that after she lost her job, she was negotiating with the bank in good faith.
It's terrible. It's terrible. They take your money and you still lose your home.
Then, she received a notice of foreclosure without warning. The league is demanding that banks first negotiate with homeowners before putting their houses up on the auction block. Laurel Galanter, Annenberg Radio News.
As the Chilean miners recover, the Chilean community in Los Angeles unites. Kyle Tabuena Froley talked to one Chilean local about the miners' rescue.
The rescue of 33 copper miners has given LA's Chilean community a new sense of national pride.
It's the way the Chilean people are, you know, very patient for the passion for the country.
That's Sonia Tucozana. She moved here from Chile. She says usually the Chilean community is divided over politics.
In Chile, the other thing is the people are very different division.
But she thinks the way Chile's president handled the crisis united the country.
In my opinion, he plays the country. Because now, you know, if you notice it, but in Mexico, a few years ago, they have an accident in one mine, too. They lost like 79 people or something like that because they didn't do it the way Chile is doing in this moment.
Many of the miners are still in the hospital for testing. But to Chileans, they have become global symbols of patience and solidarity. Kyle Tabuena Froley, Annenberg Radio News.
In California, there are safety regulations for the amount of lead that's allowed in jewelry. Recently, high levels of lead have been found in jewelry across the state, putting retailers in the hot seat. Today, a jewelry screening at an Echo Park boutique gave the public a chance to protect themselves from the dangers of lead. Haley Fox has the story.
I never really thought about lead in my jewelry. I definitely never thought it was dangerous. And for the most part, it isn't. But when kids chew on or swallow contaminated jewelry, the metal can quickly spread through their bloodstream. Joanna Lin, an investigator at California Watch, said lead can cause long-term damage.
It really targets the nervous system. It can cause learning disabilities or mental developmental problems with kids. It can kill you if it gets really bad.
Generally, adults wearing contaminated jewelry are safe, but prolonged exposure to lead can cause brain and kidney damage, as well as reproductive problems. At a free screening in Echo Park, Emma Gallegos showed up to find out what was really in her jewelry.
I've heard a lot about lead being in, you know, toys and things, but I had never thought about it too hard with jewelry, so thought I'd come out and just check out my earrings and see what was in them. I'm kind of curious to know if the stuff that I'm buying has lead in it.
It's impossible to tell by its appearance if jewelry is contaminated, so a fluorescent X-ray machine scans the items for lead. Within 40 seconds, the results are in. Rainbow Apparel, a national retailer that sells kids and adult accessories, has received 5 violations for lead in the last 2 years. Rainbow's lawyer, Jeffrey Margulies, says the company didn't know the items were contaminated because the jewelry came from outside vendors. Now, Rainbow's trying to fix the problem.
First of all, it stopped buying jewelry from these two vendors. It removed all of the jewelry that was identified, as well as other jewelry that looked like the same jewelry, from the shelves in California within something like 10 days of the original notice.
While I was there, I decided to get my own necklace scanned.
It's 292.9 parts per million lead, so that's really close to the legal limit for children's jewelry.
For now, I'm safe, but I will keep my jewelry away from kids. This is Haley Fox, Annenberg Radio News.
As organic farmers markets and gourmet food trucks spring up all over Los Angeles, experts are still referring to parts of South LA as food deserts. Christine Trang, a reporter for Intersections, the South Los Angeles Report, recently did an investigation on the state of food in South LA and its effects on the community. Today we spoke about her investigation and the meaning of the phrase food desert. What is a food desert?
A food desert is an area where purchasing healthy food is difficult, and it's important to remember that it's not an area where food is not accessible, it's an area where healthy food is not accessible. It's also an area where it's difficult for residents of that area to get to a grocery store, so transportation might be an issue.
And I know that you performed a month-long investigation about grocery stores in South LA. What did you find during your investigation?
Well, I started the month-long project by stopping by a Ralph's on Western and Manchester in Inglewood. And that I went to that particular Ralph's because a community member told us that he used to shop at that Ralph's and he noticed a lot of expired products. And I stopped by about six times. And four of those six times, I did find a lot of outdated products. I found milk that was months over the date. I found brown meat. And then I also found some vegetables that were looked like they were just no good. And I also visited a lot of other Ralphs, not just that one, but I went to one downtown, which was really nice. And then I went to a couple in Santa Monica, Culver City, a few on the west side. And I noticed that a lot of those were really different, not just in terms of the food that they offered, but the way the store looked on the outside, too.
And do you think there is a direct correlation between lower income neighborhoods and food deserts?
I asked that same question to a man who works at the California Grocers Association, and he told me that there is not a direct correlation and that it's just about the availability of land and the long process it takes to get a grocery store into the city. I think there is a problem with the availability of land, but I don't think that's the only problem. And he also mentioned that it's an issue, too, of putting a grocery store where you know that people are not going to buy products. But I talked to a professor on campus here who told me that that's kind of an excuse because they've done studies to show that people really do leave their neighborhoods if they need to buy product.
And, you know, given that we're so food obsessed in LA, there are food trucks, there are, you know, organic farmers markets. Why do you think this topic is so important?
I wrote in the beginning of my story about the same food obsession that you mentioned. The food truck business is huge right now, especially during the recession. Everybody's trying to find, you know, cheap products that they can go buy. But this food obsession in South LA is different because they can't even worry about anything like that. They're just worrying about where can we get a grocery store? Where can we get fresh food? Do we have to walk this 2 miles with our kids? And so, I mean... the food obsession is one thing for people who live outside of food deserts, but it's another thing for people who do live in food deserts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Christine Trang from Intersections, the South LA Report. It's getting harder for high schoolers to get into college, and more expensive. But some students won't have to worry about paying for test prep. Stephanie Sherman has more.
Today, the Central Library in downtown is kicking off its seventh year of SAT and ACT preparatory courses for students. Unlike other programs, this won't cost students anything. Martin Gomez is a librarian at the Central Library.
This is a unique program. There's no other public library that I know of, certainly in California, if not in the U.S., that offers such a free program.
Lorena is one of the students taking the class. She says the program has given her new goals.
It's making me want to go to college, and it makes me want to experience more stuff in life.
The course offers seminars, workbooks, and several practice exams for students. Stephanie Sherman, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Namisha Takor to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
With President Max Nikias' big inauguration tomorrow, we managed to talk to him just hours before the big event tomorrow and get student feedback on what they think of our new president. Also, we talked to activists against Japanese dolphin killing. all that and more coming up at 6 on Annenberg TV News.
Great. Thanks. Looking forward to watching. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Julia Gabrick, Benjamin Capinos, Stephanie Kaiser, Rachel Lee, and Ryan Nunez. Ariel Edwards-Levy is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm LaTanya Kirkland.